This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the master method to prepare for the highest stakes tension conversations at work. A six-step framework for walking into charged conversations ready, not reactive. In short, high stakes tension conversations fail not because people lack courage, but because they enter unprepared and get overwhelmed when the pressure hits. Structure does not remove the difficulty. It keeps you functional when the difficulty arrives. The master method gives you six steps to prepare, execute, and recover from the toughest tension conversations at work. Each step addresses a specific failure point: emotional flooding, unexpected pushback, losing your thread, poor timing, distraction during the conversation, and learning nothing afterward. With consistent practice, this framework becomes a reflex, not a ritual. Definition: the master method is a six-step framework for preparing and executing high-stakes tension conversations at work, covering mental preparation, anticipating objections, structuring key points, timing the conversation, engaging with full presence, and reflecting afterward. I have watched good people walk into hard conversations with the best intentions and come out having made everything worse. Not because they were unkind. Not because they did not care. Because they were unprepared, and when the pressure arrived, their good intentions dissolved and their worst habits took over. The master method exists precisely for those moments. As I write and say it right every time, there are conversations so difficult, so high stakes, so emotionally charged that they require more than the basics. They require mastery. This framework, which I outline in chapter 14, is how you build that mastery before you need it. High stakes tension conversations at work share three common features: the outcome matters significantly, the emotions run high on at least one side, and the relationship is on the line. That combination is what makes them so hard to handle without structure. When you learn to apply the master method consistently, you stop dreading these conversations and start trusting yourself to navigate them. Why high stakes tension conversations demand a different approach. Most workplace conversations allow for improvisation. You read the room, you adjust, you find your way through. Tension conversations involving real stakes do not offer that luxury. When someone feels threatened, when a boundary has been crossed, when a relationship is fracturing, the emotional load changes what people hear and how they respond. I have seen managers with 20 years of experience freeze when a direct report responded to feedback with explosive anger. I've seen confident professionals lose their thread completely when a colleague denied something they both knew to be true. The problem was not a lack of skill. The problem was that their preparation had not accounted for the pressure they were walking into. Structure does not guarantee you a smooth conversation. What it does is give you something to hold onto when the conversation stops going the way you expected. That is the real value of the master method. It is not a script for a perfect exchange. It is scaffolding that keeps you upright when the ground shifts. If you want to understand how to stay grounded once you're already inside a tense exchange, the core framework is worth your time. The master method is what you do before you walk through the door. The master method. All six steps in full. I developed this framework over many years of watching high-stakes conversations succeed and fail, and refining what the successful ones had in common. Chapter 14 of Say It Right Every Time covers every step in detail. Here, I teach each one completely so you can put it to work immediately. Step 1. M. Mental preparation. What it is. Getting your mind ready before the words begin. What it is designed for. Tension conversations trigger the fight or flight response. Mental preparation interrupts that pattern and puts you back in conscious control before you sit down. How it works. Number 1. Name what you are feeling. Sit quietly for 5 minutes before the conversation. Identify the specific emotions present: anxiety, resentment, fear of conflict, frustration. Naming them reduces their grip. Number 2. Use negative visualization. Imagine the conversation going badly. Picture the other person shutting down, getting angry, or denying everything. Rehearsing the worst case mentally makes it far less destabilizing if it actually happens. Number 3. Set your intention. Ask yourself, what do I want the relationship to look like when this conversation is over? That answer becomes your compass during the exchange. Number 4. Regulate physically. Slow breathing, a short walk, or 5 minutes of silence before you begin. Tension lives in the body first. Address it there. When to use it. Every time. No exceptions. Even a 5-minute mental preparation session changes how you carry yourself into the room. When not to skip it. When you are angry, the temptation to go in hot is exactly when this step matters most. Quick example. A manager discovers her team lead has been taking credit for a junior colleague's work. Before addressing it, she sits with the anger, names it as a combination of protectiveness and betrayal, visualizes him becoming defensive, and sets her intention she wants him to understand the impact and change the behavior, not to humiliate him. Eamon's note. I spent years walking into hard conversations with adrenaline doing my thinking for me. I said things I could not take back. Mental preparation is not a luxury. It is what separates a conversation from a confrontation. Step 2. A. Anticipating objections. What it is. Mapping the pushback before it arrives. What it is designed for. Tension conversations rarely go in a straight line. The other person will object, deflect, deny, or reframe. Anticipating this in advance keeps you from being thrown off balance. How it works. Number 1. List the most likely objections. Write them down. That's not what happened. You're being too sensitive. I was under pressure. Everyone does this. Number 2. Prepare your responses. For each objection, draft a calm, fact-based reply. Keep responses short and grounded in specifics. Number 3. Identify manipulation patterns. If the other person has a history of gaslighting or redirection, prepare for it. As I write and say it right every time. Manipulation thrives in confusion. It dies in clarity. Coming in with documented facts removes the fog manipulation needs. Number 4. Decide your boundaries in advance. Know exactly what you will and will not accept as an outcome. A boundary without enforcement is just a suggestion. When to use it? Whenever the other person has a history of deflection, denial, or emotional volatility, when not to overdo it. Do not spend so long anticipating objections that you enter the conversation expecting a fight. Prepare for resistance. Do not assume it. Quick example. A team leader anticipates that when he raises a pattern of missed deadlines with a senior colleague, she will redirect to workload pressures. He prepares. I hear that the workload is a factor. I want to address that too. Right now I need us to focus on the specific dates we agreed and what happened on those 3 occasions. Eamon's note. The conversations that blindsided me most were the ones where I thought I knew how the other person would respond. Preparation is not about predicting the future. It is about not being helpless when the unexpected arrives. Step 3. S. Structuring your key points. What it is. Deciding exactly what you need to say, in what order, before you say it. What it is designed for. Under pressure, people either say too little, say too much, or lose their thread entirely. Structure prevents all 3. How it works. Number 1. Limit yourself to 3 key points. Any more and the message fragments. 3 is the number a tense person can hear and hold. Number 2. Lead with a specific situation, not the emotion. On Tuesday and Thursday last week, the reports were not submitted by the agreed deadline is more effective than you keep letting the team down. Number 3. Name the impact clearly. What did the behavior cost the team, the project, the relationship, the trust? Number 4. State what you need going forward. Be direct. Be concrete. Vague requests invite vague responses. Number 5. Write it out beforehand. Not a script to read aloud, but a set of notes you have internalized. Knowing your structure frees you to be present. When to use it. For every tension conversation with real stakes. Structure is not rigidity. It is the clear riverbank that keeps the water from flooding the field. When to adapt it. If the conversation opens with the other person disclosing something significant you did not know, let your structure flex. Listen first. Return to your points when the time is right. Quick example. A project lead structures her points before addressing a colleague's public dismissiveness in meetings. One, this happened on 3 specific occasions. 2, it undermined her credibility with the client. And 3, she needs it to stop with a specific alternative behavior requested. 3 points. Clear. Owned. Eamon's note. I once entered a performance conversation with 15 things I needed to say. I left having said 3 of them badly and none of them well. 3 points, prepared in advance, will always outperform 15 points improvised under pressure. For a complementary approach to building structure into difficult conversations before they start, the conversation pre-mortem is worth exploring alongside this step. Step 4. T. Timing the conversation. What it is. Choosing when and where to have the conversation, with as much care as you choose what to say. What it is designed for. A well-prepared conversation delivered at the wrong moment can do more harm than no conversation at all.
Timing is not a minor detail. It is a strategic choice. How it works.
Number 1. Choose the right medium. In Chapter 14 of Say It Right Every Time, I outline what I call the communication medium richness hierarchy in person, video call, phone call, email, and text message, ranked from richest to leanest.
The higher the stakes, the richer the medium you need.
Attention conversation handled by text is attention conversation designed to fail. A script 116 from the book puts it. This feels like a conversation we should have by phone or in person.
Text isn't great for this kind of thing. When can we talk?
Number 2. Avoid emotionally loaded moments. Do not have this conversation immediately after a public conflict, at the end of a long exhausting day, or 5 minutes before a deadline.
Number 3.
Give the other person enough warning to be present. I would like to talk with you about something important. Can we find 30 minutes this week?
Ambushing someone almost always produces defensiveness.
Number 4.
Consider the setting. Private and neutral.
Neither your office nor theirs if there is a power dynamic at play.
When to break the timing rule. If the situation involves a serious boundary violation, safety concern, or behaviour that must stop immediately, you address it at the moment.
Timing matters, but not more than necessity.
Quick example. A manager needs to address a recurring conduct issue.
Rather than pulling the employee aside in an open office on a Friday afternoon, she schedules a private room on a Tuesday morning, sends a brief heads up, and gives the employee a day to prepare mentally.
Eamon's note.
I once delivered difficult feedback to someone on the afternoon their father had been taken to hospital.
I did not know. But if I had paused to ask how they were doing first, I would have. Timing requires that you pay attention before you open your mouth.
Step 5.
E. Engaging with full presence. What it is.
Being completely in the conversation, not just waiting for your next turn to speak.
What it is designed for.
Tension conversations fail when one person is mentally composing the rebuttal while the other is still talking.
Full presence is what allows you to hear what is actually being said. Not just what you expected to hear. How it works.
Number 1. Put away your phone and close your laptop.
Full presence is a physical commitment before it is a mental one.
Number 2.
Listen before you respond.
When the other person speaks, your first job is to understand, not to counter. Summarize what you heard before you reply.
Number 3.
Match the emotional temperature, not the behavior.
If the other person becomes angry, you do not match that anger.
You hold steady. As I write in Say It Right Every Time, anger feeds on anger. When you refuse to provide fuel, the fire eventually burns out.
Number 4. Watch for what is not being said.
Tension conversations often carry more in the pauses and the deflections than in the words themselves. People who feel powerless often escalate. People who feel heard rarely do.
Number 5.
Stay on the facts when things get heated.
If manipulation or denial appears, return to the specifics you prepared. That is not what happened.
Here is what actually happened.
Specific facts. When to use it.
Every tension conversation, without exception.
Presence is not optional in high-stakes exchanges. When to step back.
If the conversation becomes too emotionally volatile to be productive, it is acceptable to pause it.
I want to continue this conversation.
I think we both need a short break to come back to it productively. That is not avoidance.
That is wisdom. Quick example. Our HR professional is addressing a complaint about a senior team member. The senior member becomes loud and dismissive.
Rather than raising his own voice, the HR professional says calmly,
I can see you're very upset, and I want to understand your perspective. I need us to have this conversation calmly. If we can't do that right now, I'd like to take a break and come back to it.
Eamon's note. The greatest gift you can give someone in a hard conversation is your full attention.
Not your agreement. Not your solutions.
Just your complete and divided presence. Most people have never received it in a difficult moment.
When they do, something shifts. For practical tools on managing your own emotional response while staying present during conflict, how to use the deal method to diffuse tension between two colleagues who refuse to cooperate offers a complementary structure.
Step 6.
R. Reflecting afterward. What it is.
Deliberate review of what happened, what you did well, and what you would do differently.
What it is designed for.
Reflection is what converts a single difficult conversation into growing competence. Without it, you repeat the same patterns indefinitely.
How it works.
Number 1.
Wait until you are calm. Give yourself at least 30 minutes before you review. Reflection under residual adrenaline produces blame, not learning. Number 2. Ask 3 specific questions. What went as I prepared for? What surprised me? What would I change? Number 3. Assess the relationship, not just the outcome. Did the other person feel respected, even if the news was hard? That matters as much as whether you made your points. Number 4. Note what to repair. If you said something you regret, the recover method, also from say it right every time, gives you a structured path back, recognizing what went wrong, cooling down, owning your mistakes, validating the other person's experience, explaining your intent, and recommitting to the relationship. Script 118 from the book is a practical starting point. I've been thinking about our conversation, and I don't feel good about how it went. I said some things I regret, specifically what you said. I want to make this right. Can we talk? Number 5. Record your observations. Brief notes made after a hard conversation become the raw material for genuine skill development over time. When to skip it? Never. Even a 5-minute reflection is better than none. The conversations you learn from are the ones you actually examine. Eamon's note. Knowing what to do and actually doing it are two different things. I wrote that in chapter 14, and I meant it. Reflection is the bridge between the two. It is how lived experience becomes earned wisdom. Choosing the right preparation depth for your situation. Not every tension conversation demands the same level of preparation. Here is a practical guide to calibrating your master method preparation to the situation in front of you. Situation preparation depth focus steps. Recurring irritant, low relationship stakes like 10, 15 minutes, e. Missed deadline or dropped commitment moderate 20, 30 min ms, t. Trust breakdown or boundary violation full 40, 60 min all 6 steps. Pattern of manipulation or gaslighting full, with written record m, a, s, t. Public conflict leading private repair moderate m, t, e. Formal performance or conduct conversation full, with HR guidance all 6 steps. The narrative guidance is this if the relationship matters and the stakes are real. Invest the full preparation. Light preparation is for situations where repair is minor and the relationship can absorb a rougher conversation. When you're dealing with a trust breakdown, repeated conflict, or a formal consequence, every step of the master method earns its time. For situations where the tension involves a team rather than a one-to-one exchange, how to start a difficult conversation, it's blocking your team's synergy, and how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy both offer structures to complement this one. Where people go wrong when preparing for tense conversations. Preparation is not automatic protection. Done poorly, it can create its own problems. Here are the failure patterns I have seen most often. The mistake: overpreparing the argument and ignoring the relationship. Why it happens: when we feel wronged, we build a case. We amass evidence. We rehearse our points. We forget that the other person is a human being who needs to feel respected even while being challenged. What to do instead? For every point you prepare, ask, how does this land if the other person is more scared than aggressive? The mistake: preparing only for the conversation you expect, not the one that might happen. Why it happens? It is natural to script for the most likely response, but tense conversations are unpredictable. What to do instead? Use the anticipating step to map at least 3 different directions the conversation could go, including the ones you find most uncomfortable. The mistake: treating preparation as permission to bypass listening. Why it happens? When you have prepared thoroughly, there is a temptation to deliver your prepared content regardless of what the other person says. What to do instead? Hold your structure loosely. Let the other person's response genuinely change what you say next. The mistake: choosing a lean medium because it feels safer. Why it happens? Email feels controllable. Text feels low risk. In person feels terrifying. What to do instead? Follow the communication medium richness hierarchy. The discomfort of a face-to-face conversation is temporary. The regret of a badly handled email exchange can last for years. If a colleague tries to draw you into a serious tension conversation by text, script 116 gives you a clean redirect. If you want to see how structured feedback fits alongside this preparation work, Why Effective Feedback is the Backbone of Workplace Growth is a natural companion read. And for keeping meetings productive when tension is already present in a team, How to Run Productive Meetings That Don't Waste Time offers practical discipline that supports the work you do here. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building real fluency with the master method over time. One use of this framework will not make it automatic. The goal is to build it into your muscle memory so that when a high-stakes tension conversation appears, your preparation begins instinctively, not reluctantly. Start with the conversations you have already been avoiding. In Chapter 15 of Say It Right Every Time, I lay out a 6-day progression that moves from low-stakes practice to the conversations that matter most. The principle is simple: small changes, repeated consistently, create large results over time. You do not need to master every step at once. You need to use each step once, notice what happens, and refine. After each conversation, answer 5 questions: what did I prepare well? What surprised me? What did I handle badly? What would I change? And how is the relationship now? Those 5 answers, collected over a few months, will show you your own patterns with a clarity that no training can replicate. The difference between people who transform their communication and people who don't isn't intelligence. It isn't natural talent. It isn't even confidence. It's willingness to be uncomfortable. That willingness is what the master method asks of you. Not perfection. Just the courage to prepare, show up, and learn from what happens. Frequently asked questions. What is the master method? The master method is a 6-step framework for preparing and executing high-stakes tension conversations at work. The steps are mental preparation, anticipating objections, structuring key points, timing the conversation, engaging with full presence, and reflecting afterward. When should I use the master method at work? Use the master method when a tension conversation carries real consequences: a performance issue, a trust breakdown, a boundary violation, or a conflict that has resisted informal resolution. It is designed for conversations where poor preparation could cause lasting damage. How does the master method differ from general communication advice? Most communication advice focuses on what to say in the moment. The master method focuses on everything before and after the conversation. It builds structure around preparation, emotional readiness, and reflection so the conversation itself has the best possible foundation. What do I do if a conversation using the master method still goes wrong? No framework eliminates the possibility of a conversation going badly. If it does, the recover method, also from Say It Right Every Time, gives you a structured repair process covering recognizing what went wrong, owning your mistakes, and recommitting to the relationship. How long does it take to prepare using the master method? For most workplace tension conversations, their master method preparation takes 20 to 40 minutes. More complex situations involving trust damage, repeated conflict, or formal consequences may require longer. The investment is small compared to the cost of a conversation that goes wrong. Can the master method help with manipulation or gaslighting at work? Yes, the anticipating and structuring steps specifically prepare you to stay grounded when someone denies facts or redirects the conversation. Coming in with documented specifics and a clear message structure makes it much harder for manipulation or gaslighting to pull you off course. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.